This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril, and our next story is about the legality of the May 18 parliamentary sitting. While it was initially criticised by the opposition and analysts, it's now coming under even more fire. This is after Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, in his capacity as leader of the House, he amended the agenda and cancelled all forms of debate. Now, the one-day sitting will only consist of a royal address by the Yang Dipertuan Agong at 10 a.m., and after that, Parliament will adjourn. The Prime Minister reasoned that this is a necessary precaution to protect MPs from COVID-19.
Now, the most vocal voice has, unsurprisingly, been Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, who said, and I quote, "So what is this sitting? Only for us to listen to the Agong speech? This is not a Parliament sitting, and we have been delaying the sitting." Tun M also said that traditionally, MPs would at the very least always debate and vote on the Agong speech. And this is presumably to illustrate his point that there should be debate on the speech itself, if nothing else.
And recently, we spoke to former Law Minister Datuk Liew Vui Keong, who said that he intends to file for legal action against the Prime Minister and the Dewan Rakyat Secretary for cutting the upcoming parliamentary session short.
Parliamentary sitting consists of three parts. The first is King's Speech, the second is parliamentary debate, and then extent of the King's Speech by the House. Of course, we have to include question time in the process as well. Ideally, to meet with the requirement of the Constitution, the President government must have the next meeting on the 19th, 20th, 21st, and all that, you see. But now we don't have, and said it is going to be in July. So I'm saying that if you are going to be in July, a 6 months period that you must hold your first meeting is already been breached.
That was former Law Minister Datuk V.K. Liew.
Right. And so I was reading an article by The Economist, which is titled, you know, "Would-be Autocrats Are Using COVID-19 as an Excuse to Grab More Power." So while I think the situation, you know, doesn't warrant or is probably incomparable to how India is finding scapegoats for COVID-19 by blaming its Muslim population, or how some politicians in Europe have passed coronavirus laws to essentially give them indefinite or unlimited amounts of power that has been prolonged indefinitely. I certainly think that this is sort of just a blatant sort of at least undermining Parliament as the sacred institution, right? This sacred democratic institution that is key to moving forward, and that's important as part of all these reforms that the previous government has been trying to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm also shocked that I'm shocked that there's not at least some sort of agenda or debate for COVID-19 issues. You know, if it is so pressing, if the Prime Minister does want to protect the public's, you know, safety and health, that at least some sort of measures, some sort of conversation should be taking place on how this can be done moving forward, if nothing else, even if, you know, there is no vote of confidence, at the very least that COVID-19 issues could be discussed.
Well, if anything, COVID-19 for the government at this point in time has sort of served as an avoid questioning card. You know, you're avoiding questions from fellow MPs about your governance, about the policies that you've put forth, and about any other sort of things that you've been doing, right? And as well, we're also seeing that media, other than the official media, say RTM and Bernama, they are not allowed to go to Parliament at this point in time to cover the proceedings. And of course, we have seen Putrajaya giving the reply that, well, it's not that we're stopping you from covering the proceedings. You can still, but you just can't be in a building. Well, everyone right now is a producer, and that came through from Dato' Saifuddin Abdullah.
Right.
Not really the best answer, I think, because that's essentially avoiding the main thing that reporters as well as MPs are should be able to do, right? And that's asking questions and not avoiding them. That's your role. You have to be able to answer some of these questions. And if you're also looking at it from the perspective of the other MPs who have to come down to KL, who perhaps are not based here in the Klang Valley, what the arrangement is, and this was revealed by Kuantan MP Fuzia Saleh on Twitter, was that Parliament is actually going to be taking up the cost for MPs to stay in KL from the 13th of May until the 18th of May, because this period is to give that time for the MPs to be tested for COVID-19. Though you're only there for a day, you're tested for a day, you are staying within KL for a few days, and then after that, say about 11 a.m., say when the Agong's speech ends, Parliament ends, you're going to have to go home. So isn't that a bit of a waste of resources, a waste of time, as well as waste of money where we're apparently facing constraints of right now?
Right. And I was just about to bring up the actual COVID-19 tests. You know, they take a while. The turnaround is probably like a day max at most. But I was just thinking, you know, before Parliament sits, so they arrive here on the 13th of May, which means that they have several days to get infected by COVID-19. So I'm wondering if there shouldn't be, you know, some sort of 2-week isolation period where they should quarantine themselves in KL and then proceed to Parliament. But I guess that's, you know, that's too much, you know, money that'll be spent on their accommodation as well. So I'm just wondering, why not just video conference the whole thing?
Yeah, especially since it's just a speech.
Right. It's literally just a speech. I mean, you know, heck, I think it could be televised and Parliament wouldn't need to sit if it was just a speech by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong.
Yeah, and at the same time, because there is no room for debate at all, and there's also strangely pressure from Parliament for all MPs to attend, unless they have a good reason, it's, you know, it's quite hard to say what's going on. And is this an issue of political will? Is this an issue of uncertainty with tech? We don't quite know. But after this, we're going to dive in depth about the legality of this one day sitting together with constitutional lawyer Niu Sin Yu. If you have any questions, any thoughts, send them through. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:16 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril, and we're talking about that one day parliamentary sitting on May 18, or, well, next Monday. We're going to look into the legality of it together with constitutional lawyer Niu Sin Yu. Sin Yu, thanks so much for joining us on our show today.
Thanks for having me. Hi.
So before we get into it, we've been seeing a lot of lawyers and analysts weighing in on this one day sitting. Where do you personally stand on the matter?
Well, I think my view is similar to other lawyers and analysts, that the one day sitting undermines the function of Parliament. But before I explain why, let me just set out a few basic principles on why I'm saying that Parliament's role is being undermined here. The whole principle of separation of power is something that is inherent in our federal constitution. And this simply means that the three branches of government, the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary, they do not undermine each other and they each exercise their own respective functions and powers. So parliamentary sittings are determined by the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, as advised by the Prime Minister. So in reality, it is the Prime Minister that determines when and how long Parliament sits. In this case, Parliament is only sitting for a day before it is adjourned to the next sitting, which we understand, I think it's somewhere in July. So now the question is whether the Prime Minister, by fixing only one day for Parliament to sit, which would be undermining Parliament's function. To answer this question, we need to look at the reason behind the reason given by the Prime Minister behind the one-day sitting. And the reason, as we know it, is that COVID-19 pandemic is spreading. So if you measure the reason given by the Prime Minister against objective facts, against recent events, I'm afraid the reason that was given simply does not hold any water. The CMCO has been relaxed. companies have been allowed to operate at full capacity. We see crowds of people convening at public transportation, albeit with certain health and safety measures. So it is quite hard in my mind to justify why Parliament, which plays a more important function than any other industry out there, you know, is not able to sit for a longer period instead of only a day. And if you think about it, what can MPs realistically achieve in a one-day sitting? Nothing much at all. And this is the time where scrutiny is needed the most, because the executive is exercising so much power, which is impinging on our fundamental liberties. So it's certainly hard not to draw the inference that the Prime Minister is undermining Parliament's function by fixing a one-day sitting.
Now, if we take a quick step back, what does the Constitution say about parliamentary sessions in terms of frequency and, just as importantly, if not more importantly in this situation, duration?
This is the problem. When it comes to frequency and duration, the Constitution isn't a terribly helpful guide here. All that it says is that the YDPA shall from time to time summon Parliament and shall not allow 6 months to lapse between the last sitting in one session and the date appointed for the first meeting in the next session. And the last sitting was, I think, in 7 December. And, you know, the last date Parliament could be called would be on the 6th of June. So now it's 18, so it falls within that 6 months period. So yeah, it doesn't say much about frequency and duration.
Right, and let's look at the agenda, meaning that it's right now it's only a royal address that will be presented. What does it mean from a constitutional standpoint?
Well, I think you can't just look at what is on the table on that one-day sitting and ignore the fact that it is only a one-day sitting, because it goes hand in hand, you see. So the fact that there is only a royal address and it being only a one-day sitting without any justifiable reason why it shouldn't be longer, from a constitutional standpoint, like I mentioned above, it impinges and it undermines the role of Parliament. And because of that, because of this inherent principle of separation of powers that is in our federal constitution, the Prime Minister, by only fixing for a one-day sitting, undermines the role of Parliament and is therefore acting unconstitutionally. He's preventing Parliament from exercising its constitutional function.
And Speaker Tan Sri Muhammad Arif said that he received a notification from Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin stating that the agenda for the day will only be the royal address. Is it correct, technically speaking, for the Prime Minister to make this decision?
I don't think the Prime Minister here has made a decision. The Prime Minister can certainly set out the government's business, which would be given priority and precedent, but he cannot dictate what Parliament can or cannot debate. Having a look at that letter, I don't think that the Prime Minister had decided that the Parliament shouldn't be debating, because that's something that he would not have the authority to do, because that's something that would be for Parliament itself to decide. And the Speaker of the House is certainly not bound by the Prime Minister's notice. The Speaker, in theory, could allow a MP on that day to debate a motion, and I think some has been approved, that is of urgent public importance.
What legal reasons, then, might there be to limit or defer a parliamentary sitting?
Well, there is certainly no list. If you look at the federal constitution again, Article 150, even during times of emergency, Parliament's power is not wholly suspended. So, you know, Parliament would still have to sit. They would still have to sit within that 6 months period from the last sitting and the first sitting. And it could still make laws if it is necessary to do so. that is not something that has been taken away by reason of an emergency. So that goes to show, and that underscores the importance of parliament even during times of emergency. And you know, we're not in a time of emergency. Otherwise, there would be a proclamation of emergency. So it goes again. It compounds the fact that why are we only having a one-day sitting? If it's that serious, then call for emergency. And even then, you know, Parliament could still make laws under Article 150 of the Federal Constitution. So, in either scenario, Parliament's function is not being taken away, but it is now being taken away because of the limitations on the sitting, on a one-day sitting. And Parliament cannot make law if it cannot sit.
And we've seen countries like Singapore pass an article in their constitution to allow MPs to convene in separate places to, quote-unquote, enhance the survivability of Parliament as an institution. So is this something that we could look into, and how would we go about doing it?
Well, this is, you know, another scenario where you have old laws, pre-internet time laws that hasn't been updated. And, you know, this is the reason why we should update our law from time to time. But when it comes to the federal constitution, it's a living document. So yes, Singapore has done so, and I think it's needed so that it's clear that remote attendance is permitted. But that being said, because the federal constitution being a living document, I think it could also be done, remote attendance could also be done without any amendments to the federal constitution, because there is nothing expressed in the federal constitution that prohibits remote attendance. We need to look at the object and purpose of the relevant articles governing sittings of parliament that is contained in the federal constitution. And the whole object and purpose parliament sits is to meet, is to make laws, is to check on the executive. How they meet, I think, should be and can be interpreted broadly, and that would and should include remote attendance.
Now, Deputy Speaker Dato' Mohamad Rashid Hasnoun has said that those who fail to attend without written justification may have their status as MPs affected. Could you talk to us about the relevant laws here?
Well, I think it's a bit ambiguous what he meant there, but let me try to understand what he meant. I think what he meant was because in the federal constitution, if a member of House of Parliament, MP, without leave of the House, is absent from every sitting of the House for a period of 6 months, the House may declare his seat vacant. So the last sitting, correct me if I'm wrong, was on 7 December 2019. And I think the 18 May 2020 sitting would be the only sitting within that 6 months period. So if a member does not attend the 18 May sitting without leave of the House, that member could have his seat declared vacant. So I think that was the warning given by the Deputy Speaker.
Now, this is a side note, but Law Minister Dato' V.K. Liu told BFM that the government's COVID-19 responses, including the MCO and the arrests of MCO violators, is not legal. And this is because COVID-19 is not included in the schedule of infectious diseases under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's a bit general what he meant by what exactly is not legal, which part of the MCO is not legal, because, you know, it's set out in the regulations. But he is right that COVID-19 is not listed as one of the infectious disease in the Prevention and Control of Infectious Disease Act. But there is a sort of like a catch-all provision within that schedule, which lists down all the infectious disease. You have things like cholera, dengue, Ebola, leprosy. So, you know, towards the end, if you go towards the end of the schedule, you would see there's this catch-all term, any other life-threatening microbial infection. So I think that would be sufficient to cover COVID-19, you know, because viruses are microbes. I'm not a scientist, but I would think it fall under that.
Sinyu, thanks again for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was constitutional lawyer Niu Sinyu giving us, well, an understanding of the legality behind that one-day parliamentary sitting. You can let us know your thoughts. You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.